Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35.
Say again.
Isaiah 35. That's a 3 and a 5. Oh, that was a good thing, brother. Go ahead. Let's. He knows where his bread is buttered, doesn't he? Guys, have you noticed that the world is not getting any better? It's amazing how many people now are talking about all the different things that are happening in the world, whether it's with Iran or with the shootings that are going on in the United States, and not just one or two, but almost every day now, there's something happening out there, and it just seems like our world is getting worse and worse and worse. And the bad thing is, if we're not careful, as believers, we'll allow that circumstance to get us down. In God's Word, it appears every time that He brought some bad news that was coming up, He would also slip in something to look forward to encourage them so they wouldn't lose heart. And when you think about the book of Isaiah and you think about the things that were happening to Israel, there's a disobedience to God, and God said judgment is coming, and yet you find all through the book of Isaiah that something that they're looking forward to, that God's got planned for them, a blessing farther down the road. And I want us to think about that. In fact, just about every time He talks about the future, He shares with them to use that news or that word to encourage one another. So we need to be encouraged undoubtedly a lot. And so if you turn to Isaiah 35, this chapter is about the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about the spiritual kingdom that we're in today. I'm talking about when Jesus literally comes back to earth and sets up His kingdom and keeps His promise to Israel for 1,000 years. Now, by the way, you know, we worry about the earth today. We look at it, we see all the pollution. You can't eat a lot of fish because you might get this, that, and the other. You know, where our water table's full of mercury and all that kind of stuff. We're worried about it. Let me tell you what takes place. First of all, I really believe the Bible, which convinces me that God is real and what He says He can do, He can do. If He called the world into being with just a word, then He can straighten up the earth in just a few seconds. Something's going to change, guys. When the kingdom comes into being and Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem, it's not just a spiritual kingdom. Everything changes. The world, geography, the environment, disease. Notice as we begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 35. By the way, you're going to notice some similarities to the song we just sang. You notice that song, God Will Make a Way, and in the middle of the song, there is passages of Scripture. Rivers in the wilderness. A highway in the wilderness? Well, you'll notice when we read through there, you may hear that. Let's go on. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, and the blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellence of our God. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with a recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the deserts. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the others. Whoever walks the road, also a fool shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Sounds like a place I'd like to visit. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel or seen pictures of Israel, but parts of Israel is very green. Around the Sea of Galilee and even the Valley of Armageddon, as we would call it. Beautiful valley, by the way. Wonderful place to have a battle, they once said. But most of Israel is wilderness. If you go around the Dead Sea, oh my goodness. The ground's so hot you can't walk barefooted on it. There are some plants there. I can't tell you that it's all desolate and there's nothing green there. God, in all of His wisdom, made a couple of plants that grow there. A palm tree that secretes acid out the roots so it gets down deep enough to get moisture. A couple of plants that secrete a wax-type substance on the leaves so that the sun doesn't completely mess it up. It's able to survive in that area. But for the most part, it's just rocks and dirt. Nothing else. The Bible said there's coming a time, though, when Jesus Himself comes back to earth and literally reigns from Jerusalem or Zion. And at that time, even the earth will change. You notice that right now the earth is under a curse. Did you notice at the beginning of this, in verse 35, He said that nature will be filled with joy. All the wildernesses will spring up with water and springs, flowers, trees, much like the Garden of Eden probably was. There'll be a road in the wilderness where there's not one right now. That road is called holy. Instead of all roads leading to Rome, all roads will lead to Jerusalem, where Jesus rules and He reigns. Not have to worry about wild animals. They won't be there to attack you. Actually, the Bible tells us that the lion will lay down with the lamb during that time. That a snake, poisonous, will not bite you. Everything will change. Did you notice it said there wouldn't be any sickness there? Jesus will heal them. It'll be taken care of. Now, that doesn't sound like the world we live in today, though, does it? I could have got some newspaper clippings and brought them in this morning and talked a little bit about that, but you know there's a passage in 2 Timothy, and I'll just read it. You won't have to turn there, but I want you to listen to it, that really describes the world that we live in today. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times or times of stress will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. And by the way, the word unforgiving also carries with it they don't want to be reconciled to anybody. They like that unforgiving spirit. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 13 says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That pretty much sums up the news. If you turn on the news lately or you pick up a newspaper and read it, most of the time it is that kind of news all the time. Did you notice in the midst of describing the kingdom of God, though, in verses 4 and 5. Did you notice what he says? Or excuse me, verse 3 and 4. As he talked about how the wilderness would be changed and filled with joy, he says in verse 3, strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong and do not fear. Guys, I believe that God doesn't want us to look at the circumstances today and let it get us down so much that we look like the world. Guys, we're supposed to be a lighthouse. We're supposed to be a tower. We're supposed to be those who promote what God can do. You know, I would love it if every time we got saved, God would rapture us straight to glory. Man, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Once you got saved, you didn't have to worry about Satan and sin or any of that stuff. You know, just as soon as you got saved, you were up. Well, who would tell the rest of the world, though, about Jesus? Who would share with the angels? By the way, did you know the angels? I'm talking about the saved angels do not know what amazing grace means. They've never experienced it. They've watched it from afar. They see it in our lives, but they have never experienced it themselves. But us living down here, even though we're sinners, we've been saved by the grace of God, have the Spirit of God living within us, and as we live each day victorious in Christ, the angels looking down said, oh, that's what it is. That unmerited gift of God. That's what it means. Guys, also in our lives, we show Satan and the demons what amazing grace is all about. The world needs to see something different in believers' lives, not discouraged because of where our world's going. We were talking a little bit before the service started about how churches are having to change their constitution because of gay marriages today, having to take a stance. Our morals and ethics are changing in this world. Been changing for a lot of years, but really changing lately. How do we deal with that as believers? The Bible said we're to strengthen each other. By the way, did you notice something? Now, this is speaking to Israel. It says, strengthen the weakened hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear, because behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save. Notice he didn't say he might come if you hope enough. He said he will come. Now, guys, it's amazing when you get into scriptures and you begin to look at different times. Notice John chapter 14. Remember John chapter 14, when he begins verse 1, he has just told his disciples, I'm leaving. I got to go away. I'm going to die. When he told his disciples that, they had left everything, followed him, and now Jesus said, I'm leaving? Can you imagine selling everything you got, getting out of the business to follow somebody who all of a sudden said, I'm going to close the business down? Well, that's how they felt like. But Lord, we've invested time, we've invested our lives, we've given our livelihood away so that we could follow you, and you're leaving? Well, notice what he says is in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He talks about the future again. There it is. Rapture for the church. But notice how he starts out. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let things in life shake you. Don't get discouraged because of where the world's going. I really wanted Miss Debbie to sing another song today, but I didn't ask her because I was already pressing my luck a little bit. because I've asked her to sing that song two times trying to get the message in. And the first time I wasn't able to do it because of camp. She sang it for me anyhow. I'm glad. But I wanted us to sing God's Not Dead. Guys, I want you to know just because the world's going to pot, God's not going with it. He told you it was going to happen. I just read a passage of Scripture that Paul gave to Timothy. Timothy, perilous times are coming. The world's going to fall apart. Morals are out the door. People are self-centered and be that way. They'll get worse and worse and worse and worse. But don't give up. In fact, he told Timothy, Timothy, be ready to preach at the drop of a hat. And you drop the hat. You didn't get that, did you? Be ready to preach. Do the work of an evangelist. Reach out while you've got time. Because there's coming a time when people won't listen. They got itchy ears. And they want to hear only what they want to hear and not truth. Keep on preaching. Don't give up. Don't get shaken. Notice what he said to his disciples. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Turn on over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul dealing with some that thought the resurrection may have taken place or they missed it. That's a real problem, isn't it? If you're a believer and you think you missed the resurrection or it wasn't real, you'd be in trouble because Paul said you'd be in your sin and your faith would be in vain. So Paul begins to talk about the resurrection. And Jesus had been resurrected, and because of that, we've got life. But again, when he comes to the end of that, he talks about the rapture. He talks about, behold, I show you a mystery. And he talks about when Christ comes back, those who have already died with Christ will be resurrected. And those that are alive will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. That's where that wonderful scripture it is, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? And he talks about Jesus Christ being the victory. But notice in verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. After again, he shared that future hope that we have in Christ Jesus. No matter what the world's doing, no matter what's going on, no matter what somebody says, he wanted to encourage them about the rapture. And notice verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Don't be shaken. You know, Jesus told his disciples, guys, don't listen when others say, here comes Jesus or here comes the Messiah. He said, they're Antichrist. When Jesus comes, you're going to know it, by the way. There won't be any doubt. For the believer in the rapture, we're going to hear the horn and we're gone. And there won't be any doubt when Jesus comes back physically because he's going to descend. Can you imagine all those wonderful satellites and television cameras we got today? You know they're going to capture that. Uh-oh. He said, don't be shaken. He said, be steadfast, immovable, always bounding in the work of God. Guys, just because times get bad and it seems like the world's going to pot, you don't stop working. You don't give up. We're raising up a generation of quitters. It's easier to quit. You know, my parents were married for 60-something years. And I guarantee you they didn't have a perfect marriage because I was there for part of it. Well, how in the world did they weather 60-something years? They didn't call it quits. they worked it out. The world today just wants to quit. Jesus said, don't quit. Don't give up. I love this, guys. I want you to notice this. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Let me tell you something. If you clean the toilet here at the church, it's not in vain. Hello? I'm being serious. If you pick up a piece of paper out of the churchyard for the Lord, it's not in vain. Whatever you do for the Lord, it won't be forgotten. He'll remember it. He said, don't give up. Don't grow weary. Keep working. Keep working. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, let's go to chapter 4 instead. How's that? Verse 13. 4:13, excuse me. 4:13. Now, guys, somebody's come in again with some wrong doctrine. And they were worried about those who have already died in Christ. What happened to them? Where are they? Will we ever see them again? Or is that the end? They didn't have all the answers back in those days. False teachers could come in pretty easy. But Paul said, well, let's just take care of this thing right now. Let's look. Verse 13 said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, if you've ever attended a funeral where they didn't believe in anything, that is a sad affair. I'm talking sad. And even if I get a chance to share the gospel, they don't believe that loved ones went anywhere. Is a sad thing. He said, guys, it's not so for believers. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, by the way, if somebody's already went on to be the Lord, when you get raptured, you're going to be face-to-face with them in a short second. Isn't that great? Reunited. Like that. But he said, use this to encourage each other. Don't let the world, false doctrine, anything get you down. Encourage one another with the truth. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Mr. Bill. One of our favorite scriptures, found in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, by the way, we're not going to get a picture of the rapture right here, but the book of Hebrews is written to Hebrew Christians who are being persecuted so hard and so bad that they're considering going back into the old way. The writer of Hebrews had to write it in such a way that to show that Jesus was superior over all things in the Old Testament. That once you got there, there's no backing up. You either got Jesus or you don't have anything. But he also wanted to encourage him because, man, when you're suffering persecution for your stand with the Lord, it gets tough, especially if you don't have many around to encourage you. So the writer, whoever it was, Paul, Barnabas, whatever name you put there, it was the Holy Spirit for sure, I want to tell you what he said to them. He makes a quote from the Lord, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Did you catch that? I don't know if you missed that or not. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You couldn't do anything to get rid of me if you wanted to. Now, I like that. But guys, if we stopped there, we'd miss a whole bunch that he's got quoted right below it. Because there's something else that's good there. He said, so we can say confidently. Do you have confidence in God? Or do you waver? Okay, guys, I waver sometimes. You may be stronger than me, but there are circumstances sometimes that shakes me. So I have to be reminded of this. Why do you think we have preaching every Sunday? Because you and I need to be reminded of things quite often. We tend to forget them when we don't see them. So we need to hear them again. He said that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I like that. He said, I will not fear what man can do to me. Did you catch that? In other words, the Scripture tells us the only one you need to fear is God. As long as you're His child, you ain't got to fear nobody else. No matter what happens in the world, no matter how bad it gets, God is still there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm your helper. I'll get you through it. Encourage one another with these things. Guys, I remember a time in the life of Peter. Remember Peter was standing up saying how strong he was for the Lord, that no matter what the rest of them did, he would never turn on the Lord, and he'd all give his life needed be. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, the devil has asked to sift you. He said, now Peter, I'm praying for your faith. And when you come back, you caught that, didn't you? When you come back, I want you to strengthen your brothers. Now, Peter would have just shook his head and said it never happened. But that very night, it did. Now, by the way, we always pick on poor Peter. Why do you think the Lord said, Peter, I'm praying for you, and when you come back, I want you to encourage your brothers? Because the other disciples is in the same boat. They just weren't as verbal with it. Hello? Guys, we're to strengthen each other. How would you like to try to do all this on your own? I love the person that says, well, Brother Terry, I don't think a Christian needs church. I can be a Jesus follower right at home. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know about you, I need help. I need encouragement. I need prayers. I need somebody to step on my toes once in a while. Hello? Guess what? I need you. Yeah, you need me too. Because God's called us to help encourage one another, and their strength in numbers. Do what? That's why he sent them out two by two. If he'd have sent them out one by one, he'd never found them again. Guys, what I want to do, if you don't get anything else today, is don't let the world or the situation of the world get you down. Don't be shaken. Don't be moved. Don't give up. Don't stop working. And encourage one another. Guys, we're here for, I think the average lifespan right now is probably about 80-something years old. Yeah, we're gaining. But eternity with Christ is forever. 80 years old is not very long when you think of forever. You know, time takes on a different meaning when you get older. Doug liked to dug himself in trouble today with the 60-something. My daddy's 90 years old. I can't, you know, it didn't even register in my mind that my daddy's 90 years old. 90 years seems forever. When I was a teenager, 90 years, man, I'll never see that. I never thought from 16 to 18 would ever take place. That's the longest 2 years of my life. Get the driver's license restriction. I can drive. You guys today got it made. You ain't got a parallel park. Man, when I took driving tests, you got a parallel park. I had to go out in the cow pasture and stick up some palm fronds and practice.
Try doing it with a Chrysler
Newport. Or a pickup truck.
Pickup trucks are no steer.
Man, now guys, I'm glad I don't have to parallel park today, okay? I'm just glad that most of it you don't have to do. But y'all got it easy. You just pull into a slanted parking lot now. Then you get your driver's license, and you think, I got her now. Got my truck, was driving to school, has big stuff, till my grades got messed up. Had to ride the bus again. You know, that's embarrassing. Yeah, I had to learn with three on the tree. Anybody driven a three on a tree? That's where you shifted gears up here. Guys, the world's changing, not for the better. But let me tell you something. When it's all said and done, I've read the end of the Bible. Amen. I know who wins. Amen. He does.
Hallelujah.
You can trust Him every day, every moment. Just like He said to Israel, I'll come and save you. He's there for us. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Father, thank You for the promise that we don't have to let circumstance in the world get us down. In fact, Father, You desire for believers, no matter how bad the world is getting, for us to stand up and be victorious, to show the world that You're alive and that You can change lives and that You can get us through anything. Father, help the newspaper and the news not get us down when we read the things that are happening. May we realize it only fulfills what You already said. Again, proving that You are God. But as You let sin run its gamut in this world, Father, there's coming a day, just like You promised Israel when You're coming back. To reward those who have trusted You and to punish those who have rejected You. Not because You didn't want them saved. Not because You didn't want them to rejoice too. But because they refused to receive You. Father, may we not give up in doing well. May we give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. While we have the opportunity, because Your heart should be our heart, where the Scripture said You would have all men repent. Father, that ought to be our heart too, to want to see every person, man, woman, or child, come to realize that they're sinners and receive You as their Savior and Lord. That's the only hope. That's the only way we can change the world, is one soul at a time. Father, may we be active in doing the work of Christ. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Father, I'll be standing down front to receive them as they come forward during the invitation. Lord, the altar's open for those who would like to come to pray. Lord, if someone would like to make another decision, whether to join the church or whatever, Father, we're also down here to receive them as they come. We love you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.